Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Well, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL podcast. And this is going to be a great one. You know, gearing up now for basically the best weekend of football of the year in terms of volume and in quantity. You know, next weekend will be great. There's no question. There'll probably be two extremely good matchups the way it's looking today. But we got three really good games and another game, a little bonus prize, you know, for Saturday night. We're just going to dig right in, though. I'm going to go into detail the best I can on all four of these, both sides of the ball, sprinkle in some special teams. You know the drill. So here we go. So to lead things off, we have Seattle going to Atlanta. And I have a lot of respect for the Falcons. I mean, I think they can win the Super Bowl. I mean, I really do. That they're an extremely good offense. So let's say they even do win these next three games and they're Super Bowl champs. I think every one of them is going to be a shootout. I don't have a lot of faith in their defense. So let's talk about when Seattle has the ball. Special teams to me are basically a wash in this one. The two NFC games, I really think special teams are a wash. We'll talk about the AFC ones here when we get to them. Wilson didn't have to run at all last week. I felt like in some ways they were saving him. They had a very distinct recipe. Let's give it to Rawls, and he was impressive and physical and downhill and a bruiser, and it was the best their lines played against a pretty bad Lions defense without question. Is the Falcons defense any better? Certainly isn't in the red zone. I mean, they're the worst red zone defense out there right now. Their corners are a real problem, in my opinion. But can they stop the run? Can they dominate? Not even dominate. Can they win at the line of scrimmage against a bad Seahawks offensive line that I have an ear open to might be getting better, and a downhill running attack with more Wilson as a running element now, too? What do you have to lose on the road? I think Seattle's going to run the ball pretty well. I think Rawls is going to be a physical presence and will have not as much success last week on the, you know, on the road. But I do think that that will be a clock-eating physical presence that could pay off late in this game and should be able to stick with it quite a bit, because I also think Graham's going to cause big problems. I also think Baldwin's going to cause major problems. Richardson's showing up now. I think Wilson can have a big day against the secondary with little hesitation. I mean, honestly, can they get Freeney and Beasley blocked? Beasley did very little against them when these teams met the first time in Seattle. I mean, who knows? Crowd noise and things should help him here. But he's a good pass rusher. He's not an elite pass rusher, though. I mean, just lining up and beating the guy across from him, he's not a top 10 guy in that regard for me. Not yet. A lot of his pressures and sacks have come on stunts and longer stunts and things of that nature, which doesn't detract from him. He's just not, he's not Von Miller just going to whip a tackle all day long. So I think Seattle's going to have a lot of success on this side of the ball. I just do. And a lot of it's because I think they're coming around. I believe in Wilson. I think their running game can do enough. The other side of the ball is a problem, though. I mean, because Atlanta is the best offense in the league, and I very much believe that. It's one of the best offenses we've seen in the last couple of years. They can attack you in many, many ways. And along those lines, these are teams that play a basically a similar defense. I mean, they play very similar defenses. This is a Seahawks Pete Carroll disciple. You're going to see a lot of cover three. I think that these guys are going to know how to beat these defenses schematically, how to move Jimmy Graham around. The last time we saw these guys, Atlanta played a lot of three tight end sets and threw out of them. They'll employ a fullback an awful lot. they'll get Freeman and Coleman on linebackers and Chancellor. And as much as I like those guys, especially Bobby Wagner, that still features Atlanta. And they're going to use a lot of different personnel. Gabriel, I think we're going to see Sherman basically follow Julio Jones, shadow Julio Jones. And I mentioned, you know, these are notorious cover three teams. Seahawk defenses. But we've seen more man with Earl Thomas out of the equation. And in general, with Chris Richard as a defensive coordinator for Seattle, we've seen more man coverage. And this might be the time to even go even heavier with Sherman off and on Julio, although he probably won't travel with Julio to the slot. You know, so I would imagine that Atlanta makes an adjustment, puts Julio in the slot, and then he goes against somebody else. You know, and so that's an oddity right now around the league is, yeah, we're shadow corners, but we don't go to the slot. You know, like, I know it's different. I know it's harder. You're close to the line of scrimmage. I don't know if it's even harder. It's just different. But a lot of these guys shadow, and then the offense just makes an adjustment and puts, you know, Odell or Antonio Brown or Julio or whoever is out of the slot, and then they're not against top corners anymore. So we might see that. So it's easy to sit here on Friday afternoon and say, Sherman's going to play one-on-one with Jones, but my hunch is Shanahan's going to move him around, and if he doesn't travel to the slot, we'll see a lot of Jones out of the slot. Gabriel's a big wild card here. Love the way Matt Ryan's playing. I think a huge component here is a really good Falcons offensive line. How well do they protect Ryan against a pretty lethal pass rush? And I tend to lean a little bit towards Seattle in that matchup. I also think Seattle's front seven / Chancellor will do a really good job against this running game too. And not make them one-dimensional, but I bet Seattle runs the ball better than Atlanta. That's saying a lot. You know, you wouldn't think that considering the nature of these two offenses for much of the year. But that's just a lot of faith in Michael Bennett and Wagner and Chancellor and Averill and all those guys. Frank Clark's a really good player. So I think they will get to Ryan some. You know, I don't think he's going to sit back there on his back foot and just, you know, throw uninterrupted all day by any stretch. For that reason, I like Seattle slightly in this game because I think Seattle runs the ball better. I think they rush the passer better. I think they stop the run better. You know, I mentioned yesterday I did my quarterback faith, and I have a little more faith in Ryan, but it's not by leaps and bounds. I mean, I could see Wilson having a real nice day. To be honest, I've been asked about this game six times, I think, throughout the week, and each time I think I've waffled back and forth. You know, so I'm really on the fence. But this is my final answer. I'm going to go Seattle like 31-30, something along those lines. Tight game, a lot of points. Maybe they can run the ball better, and I think that might be the key. But, boy, I might feel stupid about that on Monday. And I have great respect for what Atlanta's doing. So this is a game everyone's brushing off as kind of the not important one. And I kind of agree. You know, I'm not saying New England has a bye, but boy, they have an easy... Here's what I've been saying all week, all different, you know, media formats, is take Houston out of the equation, and those other seven teams, to me, are the most deserving seven teams. They're the best seven teams in football right now. I mean, the Raiders are deserving, but they're not one of the best seven teams, obviously, since the car injury, so life is tough. You're out of luck. But I do think the seven teams that are remaining besides Houston are the best seven teams out there. And I really think that the margin between number seven and number one is very minimal. You know, like I'd probably put the Patriots one. I'd probably put the Chiefs seven. I don't know. But boy, that gap is not big at all. So I think those seven teams are very equal. Houston isn't one of them, obviously. And this is a matchup, too. New England's historically really, really good on special teams. They've been lesser in that department than usual this year. Gostkowski missed a lot of kicks early on. They seem to have fixed some things. They got Jones off punt coverage. That's big. But Houston's like the worst special teams team in the league. So that's not good. Obviously, put the check mark in New England special teams there. Like I said, the NFC games, I think, are kind of a wash in that department. We'll get to Chiefs-Pittsburgh in a bit. I wrote an article about, you know, what you do if you're the Texans defense in this one. And I think, you know, your best, you know, Romeo knows these guys really well. O'Brien knows these guys really well. But since O'Brien's been coach, they've played the Patriots twice. They lost 27-0 and 27-7. You know, one of them this year. Know them all you want, but they know you too, and I'll still take Brady and Belichick over O'Brien and Osweiler. Anyways, when Brady has the ball, I would play defense this way, and Cornell throws a lot at you, blitz packages, disguises coverages, a lot of variety of coverages. They play a lot of cover four, but their corners, to me, are one of the spots where they have an advantage. Their corners against Edelman, I think we'll see more Michael Floyd in this game. Amendola could be back, you know, against their wide receivers. I would try to press man cover against those guys as much as possible and just say, I think our guys are better than yours. If we're going to win this game, it's going to be on the backs of our corners. And they have three really good ones led by A.J. Bouye, who's about to become a really rich man. And then I think you got to come after Brady to some degree, too. I mean, the obvious conversation is Merciless, who I just wrote an article about saying he's a better pure pass rusher than Clowney, and I love Clowney, don't worry. And Clowney against Cannon and Solder. But Cannon and Solder are playing much better than they have at any point in their career. I think their offensive line's playing much better than it ever has. And notoriously, if you rattle Brady or get him off his game, it's with interior pressure much more so than with these edge guys. I mean, he just gets it out of his hand so quick, those edge guys have to take an extra step or two to get there, you know. So, but if you can rattle his receivers and throw off the timing of their short passing game, I think you have a chance. They give a chance, you know, on that side of the ball. I also think you're going to see a lot of Deion Lewis and a lot and or James White, you know, as go empty, get those guys on Cushing or McKinney or those type of guys, and they'll eat them alive. So, you know, the Patriots certainly have some advantages. Houston does do a good job against the tight end. So, at best, I look at this side of the ball and think it's a wash. But, I mean, it's still Tom Brady. It's still, you know, at home. And I here's the rub, obviously, is I think New England's going to shut down Osweiler and company, and Brady's going to get the ball back. Three and out. Go, give it back to Brady. You know, and he's going to figure you out eventually. And in the fourth quarter, I think that side of the ball dominates the Houston defense. But to keep this game close or to have a shot, the Houston defense needs to play that style that I suggested and really well, cause a turnover or two. Brady doesn't turn the ball over. We all know that. Then the other side of the ball, I think Belichick's salivating to play against Osweiler. I think their corners will match up pretty well to Fuller and Hopkins. Not sure who will go on who, but they'll probably play a lot of zones. Don't allow the big play. Don't let Lamar Miller beat you. So I think it's imperative that the Texans take some shots. And I don't think, you know, the Patriots are going to give that away by any stretch. Like I said, play a lot of zone. Don't allow the big play. But first and 10 with predictive coverages, I want to see a bomb to Fuller three times in this game. You know, I want to see a 18-yard pass to Hopkins. You know, you can't just come up and run it and run it and run it and try to keep up with Tom Brady in New England. And, of course, I would imagine Belichick's priority number one is don't let Lamar Miller beat you. And I don't think he will. So, in the end, I think this game's like a 15-point spread or something like that. And I think that's about right. I mean, I think we're looking at 32-14, you know, 28-10, something like that. With a lot of hope on, boy, maybe Houston's defense can keep this thing close and you get a bounce or something along those lines. But, man, I don't see it. I think New England wins this one in a big way. Sunday, we have an excellent, excellent slate of games here. Steelers going to KC to kick it off at 1 o'clock Eastern. And speaking of kickoffs, Tyreek Hill is a very scary man. Special teams certainly favors the Chiefs. Not necessarily from a kicking punting standpoint, but just from a returner. The Tyreek Hill factor. That if he breaks one, this is a very much a big play team. I've talked about that a lot. My summarization of the Chiefs are they are not as foundationally strong as they usually are with Reed and Smith. But the window dressing is prettier and brighter than ever with the big plays. And a lot of that comes from Tyreek Hill. A lot of it comes from Tyreek Hill. You know, 8 touchdowns in his last 6 games and for an average of like 60 yards each. As a return man, the Steelers are nuts if they kick to him in any way. And he's a big part of the offense as well. So when KC has the ball, there's a couple things I'm interested in. There's a lot of things I'm interested in. First of all, when I say that their foundation is a little weaker, they don't run the ball as well as they traditionally do. I think Smith's having a little bit of an unreported down year by his standards. It's not that he has a huge high bar, but I don't think he's played wonderful, and he's especially in the red zone. And they don't stop the run very well. We'll get to that, obviously, on the other half of this. But I think Macklin and Ware, they haven't been right lately, and Macklin's back. I would think those guys benefit a great deal from the bye week and are very happy about having that rest from last week. But I still don't think that Kansas City runs the ball all that well. Maybe we'll see some West. You know, receiving backs can give the Steelers problems. And West played pretty well in Week 17, but I like Ware better if he's right. I mean, and who knows? I mean, maybe the rib injury's got to be awful tough for a running back. But you look at the lines. I like Pittsburgh's big men on defense better than I like the Chiefs' big men. I think Schwartz should do a pretty good job on Dupree. I think Tuitt is going to manhandle these guards, especially Fulton. Hargrave and Morse should be a pretty good battle. I think they're going to have a really tough time getting Shazier and Timmons consistently blocked. And I think James Harrison owns Eric Fisher in this game, owns him. I think that's exactly the type of player Harrison thrives to go against. You know, a taller, leaner guy that could use more sand in his pants, not real physical. I think Harrison owns him in both phases. So I don't think Kansas City runs the ball all that well. Can they manufacture big plays to Hill, bubble screens, reverses, end arounds, traditional handoffs, deep posts, all the above? I would think they're going to take plenty of shots. I would also think that the Steelers, more so than they have in recent weeks, will play coverage as opposed to coming after Smith. There'd be more of a bend but don't break, don't allow the big play, force Alex Smith to orchestrate 10, 12, 14 play drives, probably without a lot of running game to lean on. But I mentioned Macklin. He's the guy nobody talks about in this offense anymore. Everyone talks about Kelce and Hill, but Macklin was damn good last year. And I wonder if this week off we see that old Macklin. He has operated out of the slot some. I would think he'll probably go back to more of a traditional outside the numbers player. I also like Chris Conley a lot, another big play threat who's I think has a bright future in this league. But Kelce's the guy that serves a drink. And the Steelers are going to play a lot of zone. So he'll see Sean Davis, he'll see Shazier, he'll see Timmons, you know, he'll see some of Mitchell. And I'm sure Reed will scheme up ways to get him the ball, and he's kind of an unstoppable force at this point. You know, I mean, he's the straw that serves the drink. So I think the Steelers will be okay if they can eliminate the big plays in all three phases. I'm going to keep coming back to that. The easiest one, I think, to eliminate will be when they're on defense, and the Steelers are on defense. I mean, because Hill and Kelce are your big play guys, Macklin too, and I expect the Steelers to play a lot of two-deep coverage and, you know, take away the come up and tackle, give away a lot of easy, shorter throws in this one. They'll mix in blitzes, of course, and they're effective doing so, but I would just think a little less than usual. The other side of the ball, this kind of pains me to say it, and some of you won't even believe I'm going to, in sort of an Alex Smith fashion, I think the Steelers have to hide their quarterback a little bit in this one. I think they need to massage the quarterback position, manage the quarterback position. They have an elite offensive line. Sounds like weather is going to be an issue, which I think does favor Ben over Smith and certainly favors Bell. He is, you know, he showed in Buffalo that he's a great bad weather snow guy. I also think it helps the Steelers a little bit, too, because I think it slows down your edge pass rushers. Houston should be back for this one. That's an interesting matchup to me, too. If weather isn't even an issue, you know, Houston versus Gilbert's a really good matchup. Villanueva's played extremely well against Ford or Hurley or the combination of the three. They'll move those guys around. It's an excellent pass rushing unit when Houston's right. When he isn't, it really isn't. You know, their sack numbers are very low. Their pressures are low when he hasn't been in the game. But the big issue with this team. Well, let's stick with the passing game. I think Ben will, like I said, I think they need to manage and hide Roethlisberger to some degree. But Peters is always going to end up, always lines up at the left corner spot. He is going to be to Ben's right all the time. And maybe Reed does something crazy. I mean, he's 19-2 after byes. He's no dummy. You know, I mean, maybe he has 2 weeks here and they decide to do something a little off the wall and they put Peters on AB consistently. Maybe they do. I still think that favors Brown. I mean, as great a corner as Peters is, I think shiftier, explosive little guys like Brown are his weakness. And I don't think the Steelers would mind one bit if Peters followed Brown all over the field. I don't think they have an answer for Brown. And I know Mitchell's played better at the opposite corner spot. The guy will be probably to Ben's left, and I think that's where they align Brown a high percentage of the time with safety help to that side of the field. But the key here to me is the running game. That the biggest weakness of any of these teams, in my opinion, and the stats bear these out, especially the last 6 weeks or so since Derek Johnson's been hurt, is the Chiefs' run defense. That they're allowing like 5.5 yards a carry without Derrick Johnson available. And this is how they're built. You know, that they're built to play, you know, they're a 3-4 team, you know, on paper. And Johnson is a guy they have a lot of money and a lot invested, and he's the leader of the defense, rightfully so, really good player. But their other linebackers are just guys, and they're cheap dudes, and they're youngsters, and retreads, and now without Johnson in their base front, they're playing two of those guys as opposed to one. And Sutton, their defense coordinator, loves to get extra defensive backs on the field, often using six of them, using guys like Barry and Sorensen as basically nickel linebackers. And if I'm the Steelers, I don't ever allow that to happen unless it's absolute third and long situations. One other note, they also struggle against slot guys. I can see Eli Rogers having a sneaky, strong game in this one, too. But this is the way I played if I'm the Steelers, and for several reasons. First of it's a hide Ben, because he's throwing too many balls to the other team. His numbers are massively worse on the road. I didn't mention that either, but Seattle's are way worse on the road, too. I mean, they average like a touchdown less on the road, which gives me pause for picking them, but that's just going back here for a minute. Bens are crazy bad on the road compared to home, where they're really, really good. I have no idea why. There is some thought that, you know, less no huddle, less communication. I'm not buying that either. But it's a 3-year sample size, so I'm a believer that it's real. But I am very much a believer that he throws too many balls to the other team and some up-for-grab stuff. And he's gotten away with more than most quarterbacks should. I mean, so he's been lucky. And he's thrown a lot of picks. And the Chiefs are the most opportunistic, most big play defense in the league. Peters, Barry, big time pass rush, create a ton of turnovers. And I hate to say it, but if the Steelers lose this game, I think it's going to be because Ben lost it for him. And I think he's a great player. You guys know I love him. He's a Hall of Famer, all those great things. But he's not playing well, and this doesn't set up well for him, although I like his Rodgers and Brown matchups in this. So what do you do? Going back to the Chiefs' weaknesses, what I do is I come out with, on every play, obviously, Ben, five offensive linemen, Bell and Brown are going to be on the field. But I would bring in Hubbard a lot, a six offensive lineman. I would bring in Nix a lot, a big hammer fullback. I would use heavy personnel sets in terms of tight ends. Doesn't sound like Ladarius Green's going to play, but, you know, Johnson's a blocker. James, I would make sure that I always had the Chiefs in their base 3-4 with those two inside linebackers on the field instead of a wealth of secondary players. So, and then I run the ball like crazy. And I also think Bell would have massive advantages in the passing game against those linebackers too. So even with that heavy personnel, Ben can still go to the shotgun, motion everybody out wide, you know, a guy like Jesse James, especially Bell, detached from the formation and, you know, get good matchups against linebackers against the base 3-4. But more than anything, I am riding Bell into the ground on this one, and we've seen the Steelers do it over and over. And for that reason, I'm taking Pittsburgh. You know, that the worst weakness you want to have against the Steelers is, boy, we let up a lot of production to running backs. Well, best running back in the league's coming behind a great offensive line. And I think they can manage the quarterback position, which is odd for me to say. But I like the Steelers in a really close one. If they do lose it, which certainly they could, I don't feel very confident on picking the Steelers. I bet Ben throws a pick or two. Hill has a big return or two. You know, maybe a guy, you know, I think it'll be big play based by Kansas City. They've won a home game there since Joe Montana was their quarterback. But I have more faith in the opposite stat that Reed is good, is great, 19-2 after byes, as opposed to, boy, the Chiefs can't win at home in the playoffs unless they have Joe Montana, you know. But anyways, I got the Steelers in a close one, 27-24. Lev Bell is the MVP.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
All right, the last game should be as good as any. My buddy Adam Crawley, he does Locked on Steelers, by the way. You should check him out. We did a show together on Wednesday, and he's more dialed into these things than I am. And he mentioned this might be the most watched NFL football game that's not a Super Bowl in the history of the league. I thought about it for a while. I'm like, yeah, it might be. You know, Sunday at 4, everyone's home. Two huge fan bases. Big-time star power. Rodgers versus the rookie. You know, great game. So, yeah, I could see that. So, again, I think special teams is a wash in this one, basically. You know, that there's not a distinct advantage. Green Bay has the ball. That, I don't think they're even going to try to run the ball hardly at all. I think Montgomery will be in the game a lot. But I bet he aligns as much as a receiver and is used as much of a receiver as he is a running back in this game. Sure, they're going to run the ball here and there. But I don't think, you know, Dallas's pass defense is much more vulnerable to me than their run defense. So I think you put this game all on Rodgers' shoulders, who's playing better than anyone we've seen in really forever. Superstar. He seems like an unstoppable force right now. They don't have Jordy. It does look like Dallas will have Claiborne. I still think, and I don't love the Green Bay receivers, but I like what Cook's doing. I would think he'll see a lot of Jones, you know, especially when they align Cook outside. They use him as much as a receiver as a tight end. Cobb will be your slot guy. Adams will be an outside player. But I think that still favors Green Bay, not by leaps and bounds. But here's the difference to me. Really good pass protecting line. A quarterback that's really difficult to get on the ground and buys time like a superhero. That I don't really care if it's Deion Sanders and, you know, Revis in his prime and, you know, studs guarding Adams and Cook and Cobb. You can't give him 4, 5, 6, 7 seconds to throw when he can put the ball anywhere he wants. You know, he can make it rain out here, man. You know, so I think that's going to be the difference in the game and why I'm narrowly going to take the Packers, because I can't bet against Rodgers, who I think is going to have a lot of time to throw right now. And again, if you keep them in their base 4-3 with Montgomery and then you split him out and use him as a receiver, that'll be interesting to me, is if when they come out, Montgomery, Cook, three receivers, what kind of personnel groupings are you getting from Dallas? Probably nickel. But if you really look at that, and Green Bay looks at that as, you know, 0-1 personnel, no backs, one tight end, and four receivers, and Rodgers is just in the shotgun, somebody's going to be on a linebacker or two. And Montgomery is still a dangerous player. I mean, he can line outside numbers, run fly, you know, go routes and still beat you. So I think he's a bit of a wild card to watch as a receiver, as a wide receiver, not just as a dump-off running back guy. And, yeah, he'll get carries. But the key to the game to me is, can David Irving and those guys get to Rodgers? I don't think the answer is yes. I really don't. Other side of the ball, though, and I'm expecting a ton of points. Both NFC games, I'm expecting a ton of points. They have no answer for Dez Bryant. Their corners are a real problem. The Cowboy offensive line should have little problems opening holes for Zeke. I think Zeke has a big game. I'm sure Dallas tries to play a little slower, massage the clock a little bit, And I'm sure that Elliott's going to have a big game, and I think they're going to put up points, and I think Prescott's going to play really well. I'm not in that corner of, let's see what the rookie's got now. He's going to crumble under the bright lights. I think he'll play great. And I love their – I think they have advantages all over the side of the ball. I mean, I really don't have anything bad to say about Dallas, especially when they have the football. I think Witten could have a decent game, you know, I mean, make three or four key catches. I think Dez has a nice game. Dak, I think Elliott goes crazy. I think the offensive line controls things. So I think this would be a highly competitive game. I mean, 32-30 in that neighborhood, 30-28. I just can't bet against Rodgers right now, especially when I think he's going to have time to throw. He's too dangerous. So that's the end of me. I'm lost for words, as you can see. I mean, I don't want to bet against the Cowboys. They might be the best team in the league. I look at them and think they have as few of holes as any team out there right now. Pittsburgh's in that conversation too. New England, of course. You know, they're not as much of a roller coaster team. I mean, they're pretty good in all facets and great in several others. At home, coming off a bye. Just can't bet against Rodgers. Just can't bet against Rodgers. So that's what I got. I hope you enjoyed the show. It's been a fun week. You know, we had a guest on Wednesday. I urge you to check that out. We were talking NFL draft. We're going to bring his partner in crime, Kyle Krabs, is coming in next Wednesday. We'll do some more draft talk. I certainly will plan on doing a lot of draft talk between now and late April. I need a lot to learn. We'll all learn together. So this has been great. Drop me a note on Twitter, at WilliamsonNFL. Leave feedback. Spread the word. I want to grow this podcast so we can keep doing it forever and ever and ever. We need to get some more downloads, but it'll come. All right, over and out. Have a great weekend. Much good football ahead.